Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
So if you had the Raptors being roadkill, rolling over into the fetal position, sucking their thumb and saying, we can't win in Milwaukee, you are a loser because the Raptors have checked that box. Kawhi Leonard, a terrible interview, but a very good basketball player, and he has proven in Toronto that that Spurs run was not just a product of being in San Antonio. He had to go outside of the Alamo to prove that. He has done it. He was dominating down the stretch of this game, a six-point win if you didn't watch it, and based on the television ratings, I'm the only one watching it. But they win in Milwaukee, and 35 points, 7 rebounds, 9 assists, couple of steals, 5 three-pointers, and the stat that I saw, that I thought this was the case, but I didn't know until after the game, that he had the 9 assists. They all led to a three-pointer. So he ended up getting all 9 of his assists were on a three-point play. Well, Toronto's most of their offense was on three-point shots, but 62 points either scored or assisted in this particular game for Kawhi Leonard. And in the lead-up to this game, the media, what was the story? If you paid any attention to this, right? You remember? I remember, because I got no life. The media made it seem like something was very wrong with Kawhi. They were building an excuse. It certainly seemed like the media were carrying the water for a poor performance and an escape hatch for Kawhi Leonard. Like he was literally on his deathbed prior to the game. And then, voila! He was a wrecking ball for Toronto. Leonard hit shots that had a high degree of difficulty. The kind of shots that would win if you play a game of horse or a game of pig, you would win with those shots, right? The degree of difficulty right there. Step back, jumpers from long distance and all that. So bottom line is the Raptors are feeling pretty good, right? Feeling pretty good. They have the leg up. They're up 3-2. And game 6 is back in, Canada on Saturday. So congratulations to the Raptors. But the better story is in the losing locker room. It's some rancid cheese. Some rancid cheese. Now the question, who gets the biggest slice of the blame pie? Because the Milwaukee Bucks, to lose at home the way they did in the fourth quarter down the stretch, is a basketball atrocity. So I'm going to point my finger at the Greek freak. That's how I'm rolling. The Greek freak, the hangover from the shoulder rub by Drake and of the coach of Toronto and putting some kind of hex on the opposition there in Milwaukee. Now, my thoughts, you've got the alpha dogs, ducks, and adrenaline junkie. And we will put all of this together. We'll put some cheese on top because the game was played in Wisconsin. And then we'll put more cheese on top. And then the final ingredient will be more cheese. So that's how we're going to do it. Now, Giannis Antetokounmpo, if you did not see this game, if you're just a box score troll, you just kind of troll through the box scores, Giannis Antetokounmpo had stats that were not terrible. 24 points. I believe he had 6 rebounds, 6 assists. But this is misleading. Right, there's a point of demarcation. If you didn't see the game, you don't know this. If you watch the game, you know exactly what I'm about to tell you, but it's going to make you feel good because you already knew this. Giannis Antetokounmpo sucked at a time you cannot suck. With the game in the balance, Antetokounmpo was nowhere to be seen. He was passive. He was lackadaisical, lethargic. And you want, and I think we all agree on this, whatever your favorite team is, your favorite player, just watching athletic competition, in that situation, down the stretch, if you're the headliner on your team, you got to be an alpha dog. We like the alpha dogs. It's like that coach, the old football coach at Coastal Carolina, right? We don't need a bunch of cats, right? Meow, right? We need more dogs. That's what you need. You got to be a dog. down the stretch. The margins are so thin in the NBA playoffs. Giannis was Casper the Friendly Ghost. He was Casper the Friendly Ghost when the game was on the line. The Bucks lost this game because of Giannis. Now, this defense had some issues. The defense had some issues guarding the perimeter shots for Milwaukee. It's almost like, all right, we'll see if they can knock down a bunch of three-point shots. They did. But Giannis got outplayed. The matchup inside the matchup, right? The game within the game. Giannis Antetokounmpo squared up with Kawhi Leonard. In the fourth quarter, Kawhi Leonard had 15 points, took 9 shots. Giannis Antetokounmpo had 6 points. He took 3 shots in the fourth quarter. 3 shots. The presumptive MVP of the NBA took 3 more shots than I did, than you did. That's your MVP? I'm going to use some Maller math. I hope you're not upset. That is a 9-point advantage in favor of Toronto. Just the head-to-head matchup, Leonard versus Antetokounmpo. The Raptors, by the way, won the fourth quarter. They were trailing going to the fourth quarter. They outscored Milwaukee by 9 points. Do you see the connection here? Am I wrong to connect these two things? Do these things not connect together? Am I just doing patternicity? Is that what I'm doing? You have to demand the ball. And B, the Milwaukee Bucks, what they have done here is punted away a golden opportunity. Now you can say, well, Toronto took it from them. But in the tail of the tape, when you look at this, if you analyze it like a big heavyweight fight, every advantage for just for game 6 was on the side of the guys from Wisconsin. Home cooking, better roster supposedly, the MVP, the Greek freak, Kawhi was injured, all that. All the ducks were lined up in a row for a date with the Warriors in the NBA Finals. And what they did is they went into the powder room and they flushed that down the toilet. Right? We don't need that. Right? And they're done in also, not just Kawhi Leonard, but the revival of Fred VanVleet. Right, Fred VanVleet, who sounds like a character from a cartoon or something like that, and he played like a cartoon early in the playoffs here, but VanVleet was marvelous. He had 21 points in the game, knocked down 7 three-point shots. The only shots he made were three-point shots. When he was on the court, it was a plus 28. Now, I'm not a negative person. I do positive radio. You know, everyone else is negative. I do positive radio. I'll be positive, right? I'll be positive for Milwaukee. Okay, if you're looking for something to hang your hat on, the Bucks outscored the Raptors by 22 points when Fred VanVleet was not in the game. The problem was VanVleet was in the game most of the time. He played over 37 minutes of the game. And the Raptors, their bench outscored Milwaukee's bench by 20. Plus 20 in favor of Toronto. I mean, you know, if you go through the whole list here. The last two games, the Raptors, much maligned, and rightfully so, very marginal bench players, have outscored Milwaukee 83-38, which you could flip those numbers, right? That's either goes either way. 83-38 there. And Toronto wins this. You look at the starting lineup. The bench was so good. The starters blew. Pascal Siakam, Danny Green, and Marc Gasol, 3 starters. For Toronto, 75% of the starting lineup, essentially. They 6 of 24 from the floor, those guys. They took 24 shots and missed 18 of them. The Raptors as a team didn't shoot particularly well. They shot less than 37%, but they hit a bunch of three-point shots, and they didn't turn the ball over in the fourth quarter. All right, last thing here. Now, the other story involving this game, Milwaukee and Toronto, is with a minute 12 seconds on the clock, and the Bucks, trailing by 3, they took out Giannis Antetokounmpo. They took him out of the game. Giannis, it looked like he had hurt his ankle on a possession prior to that, and the Raptors' backcourt, he had been stepped on. I think it was Kawhi Leonard that stepped on him, if I remember correctly. But anyway, they took him out of the game. But it would have been fine if he had not come back, and he, you know, if they were about to amputate his foot. But that was not the case. He had fallen down, and I guess he had that life alert, so he pressed the button, and then somebody in an ambulance came and picked him up, which is good when you're elderly. You need that life alert. It's a good thing. But he fell down, and he, you know, kind of, it was a little slow getting back on defense, and then he left the game with the foul when the clock stopped and the foul. But then he came right back in the game shortly after that. And the Milwaukee Bucks, I mean, what are you doing here? Mike Budenholzer, who was very upset by the massage that the other coach got, he was asked why Giannis Antetokounmpo came out of the game in the fourth quarter, and his answer, his answer was so ridiculous, so ridiculous that it needs highlighting on our little radio show. Budenholzer, the Bucks coach, said he twisted his ankle in the backcourt, blah blah blah, said that Giannis just looked like he was in a lot of pain and couldn't move. Now that's not terrible. That part of the quote is not bad. That part of the quote is fine. It's pretty benign. But wait, there's more, as a good infomercial commercial will tell you. Budenholzer then, showing he is not an adrenaline junkie, he said as to why Antetokounmpo returned to the action. He said, quote, "The adrenaline wore off and he was able to go back into the game." It's the opposite of that. If the adrenaline, if it wears off, you can't play. You can ride the wave of adrenaline. It's human anatomy, human 101, how we're wired and all that. But listen, congratulations to Kawhi Leonard, to Fred VanVleet. These squeaky players get the win. They were the ones that made the noise there. And we'll hear from some of the participants. Here's Mike Budenholzer. And when you lose, taking a page out of Sean Payton's playbook, you must discuss the officials.
Yeah, I mean, it just feels like he should be at the free throw line more. They have a couple of guys that are veterans that are very crafty that seem to get there a lot. Lowry, when he drives, you got to be incredibly disciplined. He creates a lot of contact and is rewarded for it. Giannis, you know, creates a lot of the same contact and doesn't seem to get the same whistle, get the same reward.
Yeah, that's... I don't want to get fined. It just doesn't seem that it's fair. It doesn't seem that it's equal. It doesn't seem. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm sure the NBA officials, the mandate, the talking points are, let's try to do everything we can to get a Canadian team in the NBA Finals. That's what we need. We need all Canada. Because that's how it always works in North American sports, right? There's always, you see all those Canadian teams in the Stanley Cup Final, right? Isn't it? I think it's Edmonton versus Montreal in the Stanley Cup Final. No, it's not. Oh, that's right. It's St. Louis and Boston, but all the players are Canadian. That's right. All right, let's hear from the horse's mouth, Giannis Antetokounmpo, who points out that the Milwaukee, I think he's about to tell you here, that the Milwaukee Bucks in Game 6 coming up, the upcoming game in Toronto, that they are not going to roll over and play dead.
You know, you cannot treat this just another game. It's a must win. Everybody knows it. You know, and we're just going to go in there and try to do as much as we can do, leave everything on the court, you know, make shots, play hard, give energy, yeah. And hopefully we can get a win. It's not just another game. We got to go in there and win, come back.
Okay. He's trying to, like, you could hear his mind, like, what's the next cliche? I got my, not my Rolodex, because I'm young, so I have, like, my iPhone. I scroll my iPhone to find what the... All right, here's Giannis again, and he points out that the Milwaukee Bucks will have some anger. Anger.
We can't fold. You know, we're going to come back to Milwaukee being pissed. Like, you cannot fold. You got to go out there and give everything you got. If we lose, we lose. Okay, cool. But we're not going forward as a team, and that's not what we do.
All right, so he also said we're the best team in the league. And then you heard the part where he says, if we lose, we lose. Okay, cool. We're not going to fold as a team. Didn't they fold in this game? So they've already proven they can fold. I guess we don't have to hear any more about, the Toronto Raptors, they don't lose multiple games in a row. Now, here we go. Now they've lost multiple games in a row. Change the story. Move the goalposts. We say hello to Edmund Dallas, Steamboat Willie, Judas, Solid Gold, Garcia. 9 to 5, corporate Garcia. All the
running out of room.
Yeah, you know, and people are very upset that you don't give me. I give you your nicknames every hour. You do not.
Mine are short. Yours are way too long.
No.
Yes.
No. People love my nicknames. They
can't
get enough.
That's not true.
You want to bet? I'll do a poll on Twitter. I'll do a survey.
Yeah, your polls are not fair and balanced.
No, you are not fair and balanced.
I'm always fair and balanced.
You sure about that?
I'm positive.
Yeah. Okay.
So you have something to say?
You want to go under oath? You want to
absolutely
say your name, and I am always truthful. I never tell a lie. Go ahead.
Absolutely.
Say what I just
said. I am always truthful. I never tell a lie.
Say your name at the beginning. Go ahead.
I'm Eddie Garcia. Always truthful. Never tell a lie.
Okay. Thank you for that. The defense rests for now. We'll have more on this in a minute. We will have, but somebody just sent a tweet in, Eddie. They want to hear my rundown, my nickname rundown.
Nobody did that.
Yes, they did.
I don't believe that.
They did.
Well, save it for later. Save it for the fifth hour of the show.
No.
Save the best for last.
Eddie, I am known as
No, don't do that. No.
I've been called the bannering broadcaster, the Beethoven of BS, the curmudgeon of commentary. They say, hey, Maller, you're the chasm of sarcasm.
I get ass on Facebook.
I did it for Maller. Czar of Zany, Dark Knight of Weeknight Sports Radio, Mogul of Mischief, Benny
Jackass.
The Brazen, King of Zing, the Facetious Fox. I loaned that nickname out, the Facetious Fox.
You pay me $500,000, I'll endorse a gay magazine.
What's wrong with that? Sultan of Insult and Jumpin' Jack of Wisecrack, Inside of Overnight.
You have got to be kidding me.
Nabob of negativity, the sage of outrage, pinnacle of cynical, prince of preposterous, professor of propaganda.
I was so excited. I wanted to pick more guys. I love it.
Hazar of hyperbole, along with the Mad Hatter of sports chatter.
That is a complete load of crap.
And that's only 21 of the 42.
That's 21 too many.
No. I haven't had any. I could keep adding nicknames. People love giving me nicknames. They don't like to pay me a lot, but I get a lot of nicknames.
Nobody likes your nicknames.
No,
except
like
for you.
They don't like your nicknames.
Well, get rid of them then.
I'll get fine. Done. No more nicknames. We're only going to call you the original nickname I gave you, the shuttlecock of sports.
That's the stupidest nickname of all time. That's a lie. That's not even the original nickname you gave me. The original nickname you gave me was the Godfather, and you know it. That was the original nickname.
Yes, everyone's known as the Godfather and all that, but I like the shuttlecock of sports talk. It flows. It's got rhythmic cadence to it. It makes no sense. It does. You brought up the shuttlecock on the air.
That's what they use in badminton.
That's right. And so that's a great nickname for
that's,
you.
That's ridiculous.
We couldn't think of what it was, and then you said the name of it, so there you go. It's better than the
what late, a great way to start the show.
The late, great Frank Pollock, who we nicknamed the codpiece.
Well, he was a fisherman. You added that other part.
Well, no, we thought, well, he likes to fish. Frank, may he rest in peace. And so we call him the big cod. And then listener pointed out, he's the codpiece. And I didn't know at the time what a codpiece was, but then I learned. I googled it. I was like, wow, that's interesting.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So while the Milwaukee Bucks and the Toronto Raptors were sparring in Milwaukee, a game that would ultimately be won by Toronto. Yeah, holy poutine. The team from Canada is a win away from going to the NBA Finals, and they will have home court advantage. The Warriors will be the road team. Not that it matters. They always win on the road anyway, but they'll be on the road to start. Game one of the finals will be in possibly Canada. At this point, you'd have to say that the Raptors will be favored in game six. It should be in Canada. Wow. The NBA Finals start in 6 days. 6 days from today. Next Thursday is game one of the NBA Finals. We have another week essentially to go. So while that is the backdrop, we have other stuff going on. The All-NBA team was unveiled. Yeah, tell me you're not excited. It's always a big day in the Maller household. Everyone giddy, just anticipating the excitement. So there was a story here that mildly caught my interest. I think it's pretty good. It's the reaction that really got my attention. But if you did not see it, now the mainstream media who vote for the All-NBA team, like the assembled NBA media, many of them working for teams, get to vote for the All-NBA spots. And this has a lot of meaning financially to the players. When you make an All-NBA team, you are set up on easy street when you make the All-NBA team financially. So the mainstream media outraged that Klay Thompson, nowhere to be found, Klay Thompson. He learned of this basketball atrocity. He was meeting with reporters on Thursday. The Warriors, they got nothing else to do, so they're practicing. And he was about as pleased as a 9-year-old girl eating a plate of broccoli. I was not happy at all. And we have the audio tape. So rather, I'm going to tell you more of what happened, but I want you to hear the audio. But actually, you know what? Before you hear the audio, just imagine Jay Cutler-like body language to go along. I know we can't show you this because we're on radio and we don't have pictures, but just imagine that. Here's how it sounds.
I mean, that's cool and all, but like, when you go to 5 straight finals, I respect those guys, but holy, when you go to 5 straight, I mean, it takes more than just a couple of NBA guys. It's like an all-time team, but whatever. That's not, I'd rather win a championship than be 13 on NBA, so it's all good.
Do you not like that affects potential contract statuses, you know, all NBA stuff? Because that would have elevated you.
Yeah. It is what it is, you know, I can't control it. Do I think there's that many guards better than me in the league? No, but that's the reason why we're still playing, so I don't even want to get into it, honestly.
All right, so that was a perturbed Klay Thompson in real time. So I mentioned the body language. Now, you couldn't see this, but he was, when he first found out that he didn't make the All-NBA team, and Kemba Walker of the Hornets made it the third All-NBA team, his reaction included excessive blinking as he kind of processed the information. His eyes were rolling, and he had a shoulder shrug. All negative body language. He tossed, as you heard the audio, he tossed in a whatever, like a teenage girl, whatever. And that was the big annoying thing in the back of the day, back in my day. And then you had this one, which is now more of a sign of the times. It is what it is, which is the male equivalent of whatever. But now, gender fluidity, everyone says it. It is what it is and whatever. So let's discuss the question. Does Klay Thompson have a compelling case and a legitimate beef with the media over being snubbed on the All-NBA voting? Now, my position is no. I'm going to go thumbs down on this. My observations, you've got impunity, consolation prize, and Goldilocks. And we will put all of this together. We'll put some sourdough bread, warm it up, put some butter on top, and we'll have a nice conversation. Now, number one, Klay Thompson knows what the dealio is. He is not the headliner on the Warriors. He's never been the headliner on the Warriors. It's Steph Curry, and lately it's been Kevin Durant, but he's been hurt. Those are the guys on the marquee. Klay Thompson has been, in recent years, a third wheel in this Frankenstein of an NBA team that just keeps winning year after year. He does not deserve to be on the All-NBA team. Why? He's not carrying the water. The All-NBA team is reserved for players that carry the load. He doesn't carry the load. Kemba Walker, say what you want. I don't think Kemba Walker is one of my favorite players, but he is the alpha dog on the Charlotte Hornets. He is. And that's a whole different responsibility level that Kemba Walker has in Charlotte. And the amount of influence he has on whether that team succeeds or doesn't succeed. Well, Charlotte didn't succeed, right? They didn't succeed. They didn't have a great year like they wanted to. But anyone that pays attention to this stuff knows that the thing about Klay Thompson is he's not carrying the Warriors, and he has impunity. Now, what do I mean by using the word impunity? I'll give you some algebra. Let me give you some numbers. 2, 16, 6, 16, and 4, and 13. Now, what does that mean? Those are some random shooting performances of Klay Thompson. That was a gaggle of some of his performances with Golden State. The Electrician, one of his nicknames. Killer Klay. He's often canonized when he has a wonderful performance. He's had some massive games where he goes like 17 of 20 or something like that. But more times than not, it's 5 of 15. And when he has a night where he shoots 2 of 16 or 4 of 13, you know what happens? He gets ignored. He is given exoneration. And Klay Thompson, you just go by the numbers. You want to go by the raw numbers here, which tell part of the story, not the whole story. Klay Thompson averaged 21.5 points, less than 4 rebounds, and like 2.5 assists. Kemba Walker was almost 26 points a game, and he was 4.5 rebounds, and he was close to 6 assists per game. He had better numbers across the board, every single category. And again, he is the X factor in Charlotte. Now, the second thing, as we chat here on the Ben Maller Show, if you're listening live, try the podcast. If you're on the podcast, get some insomnia and listen live. All right? Yeah, there you go. So the second thing here, watching Clay's reaction, it was obvious to me. And you didn't get to see it. You heard it. This is, as I suspected, about the money, right? It's about the money. Otherwise, that you wouldn't get that reaction because the only thing that changes, like Klay Thompson was already on his road to winning a championship with the Golden State Warriors. Let's keep it real here, right? Golden State's going to win the NBA championship. The only thing that changed by him not being on the All-NBA team was his finances. He was denied the Supermax contract. Now, I'd be chafed also. So would you, right? I think it's a natural human reaction. You're like, wait a minute. This is terrible. Now, I'm sure that Klay Thompson is now going to have to get a second job, maybe take out a loan to pay his bills here and just to make ends meet. That's got to be difficult. He's going to have to settle now for $190 million, Klay Thompson. I mean, that is a just brutal consolation prize. When you go on a game show and they give you a parting gift, it's often $190 million, or less than that, give or take. But if he had Klay Thompson been put on the All-NBA team, which he didn't deserve to be on, he would have made $221 million, so it's an extra $31 million. Now, my advice to Klay is to take some meds, jump into the Pacific Ocean, and chill out, man, right? We assume the position that he's going to stay with the Warriors. So if he had extra moolah, let's say he had this extra money, guess what? He would just be paying more in taxes to corrupt politicians. So, $31 million is a great amount of money, but most of that, by the time you pay local and federal taxes, you're not getting much of that. You're not getting much of that. Now, the final point here, if Klay Thompson really wants to get the respect, right? R-E-S-P-E-C-T, if he wants that, and some say he deserves it, then he can't stay with Golden State. He's got to leave the Warriors. Go to the Clippers. Wear the Clipper uniform and win and average 30 points a game.
Or Lakers.
Go to the Knicks and light up the Garden, the Mecca, when teams are double-teaming you every single game and you are the central part of their defensive strategy to stop. Let's see how you shoot. Right? I know you're not the central part of anybody's defense against Golden State, and you still have a lot of 5 of 15 shooting performances. So I would say don't hold your breath on him leaving the Warriors. He is a supporting actor, and it really is a zero-sum game for Klay Thompson to leave. It is. I mean, you're talking about reputation of a splash brother. Because when he leaves and then he's exposed, it reminds me, it's a different era. But we used to have a lot of conversations when I first started in sports radio when, maybe it was before my time, maybe my dad did. But Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan. And Pippen, there were people that loved the dogma of Pippen and said, Scottie Pippen's better than Jordan. Jordan gets all the headlines or they're just the same as each other. And then Pippen left, and they went their separate ways, right? Jordan left, and then Pippen left the Bulls, and he went down to Houston and Portland, and he was exposed. He didn't get that much better like people anticipated he would do. Didn't go so well. He was on one of the great disappointments of that era in the NBA, the Rockets, who had Scottie Pippen and I think Clyde Drexler and Charles Barkley, and all these Yeah, and all these legendary players, and it did not go well for him. So it is more likely than not that he will stay in the Goldilocks zone, which is the Roman Empire of the NBA right now, the juggernaut Warriors. But why would you turn down $190 million and you don't have to be the most important employee? You can be the third option, and maybe you become the second option if Durant actually leaves the Warriors. But 190 to be a part of an ensemble cast, that's pretty good. It's pretty good. All right, so the Ben Maller Show on Fox. And we're all on diets here, but somebody offered to be the pizza benefactor tonight. Who do we need to thank for this, Roberto? Who's
Terry.
Terry.
England.
In England. About that. Did we get fish and chips? No, we got pizza.
Yeah.
We got a pizza pie in here. And we are sticking it to the man because we'll bring in Eddie. I don't know his nicknames. He's over there.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Five fab.
Our old pizza place was acting a fool, and so we've gone with a new place, I guess.
Yeah, we're going with a mom-and-pop shop.
All right.
Which is not far from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. And we're going to give him a shot here. We'll see how the pie tastes, and we got some appetizers here. We'll see how this goes. This could become our new spot.
Now, Roberto, how did Terry get you the money?
PayPal.
Oh.
Well, the money in Europe goes further here, right? I mean, so it's like Terry in England's like a baller here because am I right on that still? The difference between the currencies is in favor of England, right? By a lot. I believe that's the case still. I haven't kept up. I know the currency in New Zealand, we're not as good as New Zealand. The New Zealand money's worth more than our money.
Well, I feel like
which bothers me because I get paid in New Zealand money when I go on there. Every
week. You get paid for that. Look at you.
Well, I don't do
what things what kind of
what's that?
Do you know what type? I know it's not. It's like electrically transferred or whatever.
Yeah,
I'm
no,
sure.
I don't know exactly what they call it.
You don't know what they call it? No.
No, but they have whatever the exchange rate is. I get screwed. I know that.
Of course,
I know
you
that
do.
Much because it's
1 pound equals $1.27.
Okay, so you get a little bit more. You get a little bit more when you change the money over. So, anyway, thanks to Terry. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you, Terry.
Are we all eating? I don't know.
Yes.
Coop says maybe. Eddie, are you eating?
I'll give it, since it's a new place, I'll eat a slice.
You'll eat a slice.
Yeah. I got some churros, too.
Oh, you did?
I'm having a churro and two garlic knots. That's
enough?
That's it for me.
Okay. All right. In case you're curious what we're doing here.
Yeah. Yes, everyone really wants to know that.
It's very important. Oh, I learned something that was shocking. Yeah. Well, first of all, I got cornered yesterday when I was leaving the building. Our friend, the security guard.
Yeah, the comic book guy.
Yeah, the comic book guy. He starts hitting me up in the parking lot. He's very lonely because there's no one here overnight. Yeah.
You guys keep talking about this guy, but I never see this guy.
All you have to do is walk right out the door over here, Roberto. He's always there.
He's got a bunch of bags with comic books in it, and he's doing his thing. Yeah, so the guy, he pulls me aside, and I don't mind talking to him. I think he's a good guy, and I like talking to him. But I generally want to get to the gym as quick as possible as I can, because I don't want to lose the motivation to go to the gym. And the longer gap between the end of the show and the gym, the more likely I am to go astray and not actually make it to the gym. So I try to get out of here as fast as I can. And he's telling me stories. They're doing construction, Eddie, doctor outfit's going to move into the building, and they've got office space, so he's telling me the whole thing. There's a bunch of construction workers here overnight, and they're going through that and doing the whole thing. So anyway, he then reveals, and this was shocking to me, that he is a published author, Eddie.
I did not know that.
Yes. He's a published author.
Has he written his own comic books?
I'm going to give you the name of the book. I'll give it a plug. I've not read the book. Yeah,
I knew this.
You knew this already?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the name of the book? Because I know the name of the book.
I'm trying to remember. It's about a dog.
Yes. It is called Down the Block Comics is the name of the book. And the guy that wrote it is our security guard. I'm like, wait a minute. I've been trying to write a book for like 7 years. I've talked about writing a book. This guy's got a published book. So then he tells me somehow it came up that he has the book. And then he proceeded to tell me pretty much every page of the book.
Well, you don't have to read it now.
Yeah, but then he kept saying, well, you should go buy the book and all that. And he told me this blew me away also. He said, our security guard, that they took him to Comic-Con to promote the book. The people that made the book took him down to San Diego to the holy grail of the comic book world, Comic-Con. And it's great. Down in the Block Comics, Eddie, it's an insanely funny comic series about a sweet little girl, Kimmy, who loves her dog, Cornbread. that is great.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, good for him.
Yeah, it's published 6 years ago.
So he gave you the link? To buy it for $1?
You said it was on Amazon or something like that. Is it $1? Is that how much?
I believe so.
$1? Eh, that's not much. It's a good deal. It's value right
not
there.
Not bad.
Yeah. All right. Well, good luck to him.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific. It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
And away we go. The Koopa Loop. Newsman Koopa Loop.
During a press conference on Wednesday, Roger Goodell said that the NFL is, quote, gathering information on the Robert Kraft case, but he wouldn't speculate on what his punishment might be. Ben, how long do you think it'll be before we get a ruling, and what will the ruling be?
All right, so first of all, if Roger Goodell has turned over a new leaf and he will now let this be adjudicated in the court system, if that's true, it's what Goodell said this week, then Bob Kraft will not be punished until at least 2020 or beyond. The reason I say that, the state of Florida is digging in. They're bunkering down. They want that video in the court case because it's going to screw up how they do this in the future with these rub and tug outfits and all that stuff. So this is going to drag out for like a year. And secondly, assuming Robert Kraft finally wins and the case is thrown out, he's not going to be suspended at all. He'll be fined. He won't be suspended. Next.
The California State Senate passed a bill on Wednesday that allows college athletes compensation for the use of their name, image, or likeness. Ben, is this the start of something big?
No, I don't believe it is. I'll believe it when it happens. It still feels like it's light years away from being a reality. There's going to be a lot of legal posturing by the NCAA. They have to determine, you know, what is fair market value. And if they do that, will the lawsuits end or will there be more lawsuits? All I want is that NCAA football game back with EA Sports. They got rid of that. I'm still bummed. All right, next.
So a rumor flying around now is that the Lakers' insistence on hiring Jason Kidd is due to Kidd's connection to Giannis Antetokounmpo. Ben, Giannis has said in the past that he would never want to play in a city like L.A. or New York. Do you think he'll always stick to that?
No, I don't think he'll stick to it, but he's not going to play with Jason Kidd. The guy was a terrible coach with the Bucks. People are making up anything, and Laker fans will buy it. The historians, it's fake news. How did we do, Koopaloo?
You failed, future Laker.
Oh, you failed.
You get nothing.
Go eat a shark.
You lose. Good day, sir.
Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. Knock, knock. Who's there? Lame week. Lame week who? It's Big Ben's lame joke of the week.
All right, actual joke sent in by actual listeners like yourself. I'll read the joke, bounce it off Eddie. He'll bounce it back to me. Thank you so much for sending these jokes, and you guys have been great. Every week we get new people that find jokes that they think are good for the show, and they send us in they send it to me, care of the Ben Maller Show, at gmail.com. I'll bounce it off Eddie. I'll give you the punchline. And you'll hear all kinds of sound effects from Roberto, depending on if it's good or not. Coop's got some offensive jokes. And Weed Man is back if you want to be the roast.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Spence. You in for the jokes? Yeah, make me laugh.
Okay. Right. Why was Magic contacted to produce a remake of the movie Speed?
I don't know, Ben. Why was Magic contacted to remake Speed, the movie?
He is great at blowing up buses.
So Bill, the team to LeBron.
Bill from Iowa. What is A-Rod's least favorite Alfred Hitchcock movie? Hmm.
A-Rod's least favorite Alfred Hitchcock movie is what?
Rear Window. He does not like that. That's Gordon in Tacoma. What do you call the photographer that took the potty shots of A-Rod?
I don't know. What do you call that guy?
A pooping Tom. That's what you call him. So Big Ben's lame jokes a week. Actual jokes sent in by actual listeners.
How
like
did you
yourself.
Say that?
Nike got in trouble for not paying athletes who are pregnant. We just talked about this.
Yeah.
But not those who manufacture the shoes, Eddie.
I okay.
That's because the factory workers haven't hit puberty yet, so they can't get pregnant.
That's
so it's
a good
not,
point.
Don't worry about that. That's a George. George,
bark, 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 chicken.
George in Rochester, Minnesota. Why is Marcel in Brooklyn so jealous of the current HUD secretary?
I do not know, Ben.
Because Ben Carson's food pick went viral instead of his. We're on the air, Weed Man. What is he
Lisa,
doing?
Lisa, that's Lisa.
Oh, wow, she's alive. All right, Kurt, that was Kurt from Earth. Hi, Lisa, we're on the air. All right, why was Angry Bill so happy when he got season tickets and became a Cleveland Browns fan?
I don't know. Why was Angry Bill happy about that?
He got excited because he was going to be able to sit in the dog pound. This is childhood. This is dream come true.
That's take that in your pooper and pop it.
Yeah. Ernie the Great Opiner, why did Angry Bill get a job as a dog stylist?
I don't know. Why did Angry Bill get a job as a dog stylist?
He was grooming future victims, unfortunately. That's not right. How dare you? That's Mike from Oregon. Mike from Oregon sent that one in. All right. What did Angry Bill tell the – a lot of Angry Bill jokes. What did Angry Bill tell the police when they stopped him for hitting someone over the head with a coffee cup?
I don't know. What did he tell the police?
He said, I was just mugging them.
I like that joke. I like it.
That was from Chris in Maine. What do you call a party bus for Angry Bill?
I don't know. What do you call a party bus for Angry Bill?
Greyhound. What was Angry Bill's least favorite day of the week in prison?
I don't know. What was his least day of the week, least favorite day of the week in prison?
Hump day. He did not like hump day. That was from Gary from you're calling him an idiot. Gary from Youngstown. Let's see, we'll skip over that one. What did we get after A-Rod was on the toilet?
Oh, I don't know. What did we get after A-Rod was on the toilet?
Exclusive Steve from Manhattan.
Wow.
Apparently that's Ernie the Great Opiner. How many douchebag Steves? How many douchebag Steves does it take to change a light bulb?
I don't know how many.
One douchebag Steve. He holds the bulb and the Earth rotates around him. So yeah, worry about that. So that's a classic. That's a classic. Did you hear that Lamar Odom was stopped by airport security? They saw something in his carry-on bag filled with clean urine.
I did not hear about that, no.
Yeah, he's all right, though. It turns out it was just he was just taking Kyler Murray on vacation, so it was just Bill from Iowa. It's good. Well, yeah, Kyler, you can go in the carry-on, so he's all right. He's in the overhead bin. Why don't Canadian Bears wear shoes?
I don't know. Why don't Canadian Bears wear shoes?
Because they'd still have bare feet, Eddie. They'd still have the bare feet there. That's Husker Kevin. It's not, oh, my God. What is this? Oh, my God. There's a conspiracy theory involving Zion Williamson and New Orleans.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a Pelican brief, Eddie. It's Manic Mike.
Young, man. I don't get that.
I know. What does Manic Mike said that? What does Bartolo Colon get when he plays dodgeball?
Ooh, I don't know. What does Bartolo Colon get when he plays dodgeball?
He gets hit, Eddie. He gets hit when he plays dodgeball. That's Kurt from Earth who sent that one in. Why? This is from Cowboy John Brad. Why does Angry Bill hate the Rockies so much?
I don't know. Why does Angry Bill hate the Rockies so much?
Because Bud Black's their manager. He's upset by that. He's offended.
Racist.
What does the Malheur Militia want to give exclusive Steve or douchebag Steve from Manhattan as a welcome to the show?
I don't know. What do they want to give him as a welcome to the show?
A full lobotomy. That's Ernie the Great Empire. All right, Coop, you got anything here?
Do you hear why Magic Johnson decided to step down as president of basketball operations from the Lakers?
No, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, he found out he had the wrong AIDS.
I'm gonna go take a shower.
That's from Ed from Spokane.
Wow, Ed.
Wow.
Vicious Ed. All right, we'll get to the Weed Man roast. Coop's got some more jokes. We'll get to all that as the lame jokes of the week. It's only once a week if you're offended, so just let us have our fun. We'll get to more of the lame jokes. We'll do it next. And right back to it. It's Big Man's Lame Jokes of the Week. Actual jokes by actual listeners to the show. And everyone's lined up. Everyone's ready to go. All right. Did you know that Weed Man has a daily wake-up call? How about that, Ed?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's a cop yelling, "You can't sleep here, bum!"
That's, put my mic on!
That's Gary from Youngstown. What does Weed Man use for cologne?
I don't know. What does...
Oh my God, what a
What
moron.
Does Weed Man use for cologne?
Windex. That's what he uses for cologne.
Rinse wake up.
Why does Weed Man, alone. Why does Weed Man sit when he pees? Why does he?
I don't know. Why does he sit when he pees?
He's a squatter. It's just Josh who sent that one in. Did you know that Weed Man gets nervous when he gets nervous that it can affect the weather?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, it turns out it's a lot of high pressure. Affiliate Dave sent that one in. Did you hear that Weed Man was trapped in a porta potty for 3 days?
I did not.
Oh my God. That.
He said it reminded him of when he had indoor plumbing. He really liked it. Some Just Josh. You got anything over there, Koopaloop?
Yeah, it's not Weed Man related.
Okay.
But,
all right.
What do you call a tirade from an anti-vaxxer's 2-year-old child?
Huh. I don't know.
A midlife crisis. It's from John from Dallas. Right.
How can you tell when Weed Man is in a social media war?
I don't know. How can you tell when Weed Man's in a social media war?
He keeps yelling, retreat, retreat. So Ernie the Great Opiner, did you hear that Weed Man asked Andrea the psychic, or the astrologer rather, what his sign says?
I love you, Andrea.
No, yeah, I didn't hear about that.
She said it was cardboard and reads, homeless needs help. That's the from Bill in Iowa. What does Weed Man...
Hey, money.
Shut up. What does Weed Man read while he's dropping... you know what, Eddie?
I don't know. What does he read while he's doing that?
Warning, do not play in or around the dumpster. That's what he reads. So Gary from Youngstown. How poor is Weed Man?
I don't know, Ben. How poor is he?
He is so poor, he can't afford free samples at Costco. That's how poor he is. So Jay sent that one. What do you got over there, Coop?
What do you get when you stick Marcel, Phylexis, Weedman, and Angry Bill all into a van?
Oh, that's my dream lineup right there. What do you get?
A mixed assortment of fruits and nuts.
Oh, come on. Come on, man. Come on. That's
from Just Josh.
That's not right. Why did Weedman take a job as an exterminator?
I don't know. Why did he take a job as an exterminator?
Because they told him he could smoke all the roaches he finds. He's like, I'm excited about that. I love that. That's Ernie the Great Opiner.
That's funny.
Why did Weed Man turn down a job with an experimental drug company?
I don't know. Why did he turn that job down?
He said, I'm not experimenting. I'm proven. I don't need to. So Ernie the Great Opiner. Why did Weed Man rub hemorrhoid cream all over his body?
I can't. I can't even imagine why he would do that.
Because the direction said apply directly to an infected bum. He said, all right.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
That's from Pickle Rick in Louisville. Thank you, Pickle Rick, Louisville, Kentucky. Did you know Weed Man has always been against using cocaine?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah. He does, however, enjoy the smell. He likes the smell. That's another home run from Bill in Iowa. Why didn't Weed Man Hippie make his high school dive team?
I don't know. Why didn't Weed Man make the dive team?
They weren't looking for a dumpster diver. That's what. That's a Surfer Todd. All right, here's the closer. Another how poor is Weed Man joke. How poor is Weed Man?
I don't know. How poor is he?
Weed Man's so poor, when he goes to the movie theater, he sits in Section 8. Section 8, Eddie! Section 8!